And welcome to this week's episode of Question,
where we put the question mark in Christianity. As I said, season 2, this is our first episode. Fake Christians. Topic. Fake Christians. Are you the real thing or just another bad copy?
And everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Question. Welcome to season 2 of Question Christianity. Yay, everybody. I'm your host, Jay.
Crazy K here. And Chris.
And Chris is the newest member of our cast. So welcome, Chris. Yay, one more time.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast. Well, we had a pretty interesting season 1, did we not?
Yeah.
Really good topic. So all 25 of you who are listening, thank you for that.
Thank you.
But spread the word, though. If you like the podcast, you know, leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts, and that helps us out anyway. So, as I said, season 2, this is our first episode. But before we get into the topic, fake Christians, are you the real thing or just another bad copy? I want to see how everyone's been. This is July 13th at the time of this recording, so... Crazy K, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to since
our last episode?
I got a car.
Oh, really?
I did.
Yeah, I saw it when you pulled up.
It is a Honda CR-V, pre-owned, 2024.
Okay.
And yeah,
this is your first car?
First car.
Okay. You bought it with your own money?
I did.
Yeah. All right.
Good for you. Good for you. Oh my gosh.
I actually forgot to mention that. Yeah. So it was super exciting. I didn't necessarily want to get a car. I mean, I did, but I was super nervous just because it felt like a really huge, a really big responsibility and like purchase, which it is. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely overthinking it and I was praying about it. And God really was like, it wasn't a no from him to not get a car.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one that was holding myself back. Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
My mom was super helpful, my dad, like all my family and friends. And I was telling people that I was getting a car so that it would keep me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever someone mentioned, I'm like, yeah, I'm working on it. And so we finally got it, and I'm very, very happy. And it feels surreal just because I haven't, first time. So,
right.
But
good for you.
That is one of the biggest things that has happened.
Congratulations.
Welcome to adulthood.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I keep playing with my friends. I'm like, you know how people say for football players, like, you just won the Super Bowl. Where are you going? Disney World.
Yeah.
I'm going to Michigan. I'm driving to Michigan to see my friends.
Oh, great. You can help my daughter move.
Yeah. Got some space back there. So that is exciting. That's been really exciting.
All right, yeah. Chris. Well, first of all, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. Then you can tell us what you've been doing.
Okay.
So this is your first episode.
Yes.
Right? So.
In my life.
Wow, history.
Right.
Well, I actually found Woodlands Church through the committee who was planning last year's Rooted Conference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was coming from grocery shopping one Saturday, and I passed by the parking lot of this church and saw this sign up. And Holy Spirit kind of prompted me, say, yeah, turn in there.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I don't feel like getting my car washed. I don't want it. Because, when you have those poster board signs with handwriting on, it's either a yard sale or a car wash.
Right.
So you see a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, it's a car wash fundraiser. No, I don't feel like getting my car washed. I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, read the sign. It said prayers and free coffee. Like, oh, okay. So
could use a cup of coffee.
Well, it was like I just didn't feel comfortable, you know. And I hadn't been in church for a while, like several years.
Okay.
And I turned in, and young lady Kayana prayed with me, and I actually felt the effects of the prayer. And that told me one thing, is that this is a church where people are genuine, because the prayer was so powerful. Like, I actually felt a weight being chiseled off of me. And months go by, and she gave me the card to the Rudic conference. And then, again, months go by, and all I keep hearing is Woodlands. Every Sunday, Woodlands, Woodlands.
Wow.
And I grew up in another denomination where, you know, that's going to be another episode. But I grew up in another denomination that did not worship on Sunday. I'll just say that.
Okay, okay.
And every Sunday it was like, Woodlands, you need to go to church now. Woodlands. And now it's like the new year. So I was like, it's December 31st. So I'm like, okay, I have to do what God says before this year's out. So I went to this Presbyterian church.
Okay.
I didn't come here.
You didn't come to Woodlands.
God said. So it was kind of like, so I went to a church, right? But he was like, okay, you go ahead. So I went there, and it just was not the place. So this church came back, and I was just really in a, like a, kind of like making a decision on whether or not to actually start worshiping on Sunday. But he just said, come here. I came here, and the very first service, I cried.
Okay.
And I was, I felt at home ever since.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome.
And so now I'm here doing this podcast.
Wow.
Okay.
The parking lots of the podcast.
Right, right.
I know, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's, you know, it's very similar to me. It was when we would, when we were reading the Bible 24/7.
Oh,
we were
doing that. The atmosphere.
Yeah, and I was going to the gym in Matson at the time, so I would come back on Governors, and I'd be like, "What are these guys doing? It's 9 o'clock at night, and there's a whole bunch of people. What are they reading? What's the speaker for?" And I was just like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." So, and then we came to the church shortly after they finished it, and I don't know if you're aware of that, but the atmosphere is we read the Bible cover to cover 24 hours a day until it's finished.
No,
it usually takes about
4 or 5 days
or something like that. And
so when do you sleep?
Well, it's not one person. Like, it's your rotation.
Yeah,
so
shifts.
You fill out an hour-long shift.
So you're reading the Bible in shifts?
Yeah. So it's read nonstop, 24/7.
Out loud?
Yes. Out loud. That's with a mic.
With a mic and a speaker. And we're just reading the Bible.
So it's like a shift of like an audio Bible for benefits.
Yeah, she'll read like chapter one through like seven for her hour. Then your hour would be, you know, you just sign up for the hours, the day and the hour you want to be there. And I signed up for two. One was, both were at night. One was a midnight, and the other one was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so when you explain it like that, it sounds pretty cool.
It is cool. Mm-hmm. It is great.
We're literally just on that corner.
Yeah.
Tent, light. And then go.
We would have barbecues out there. Kids would be playing.
Sleeping.
Yeah, people would sleep overnight. Yeah.
Okay, so are we going to do that again?
No, the person who, Suresh, who ran it, he stopped it right before COVID. So but if you want to pick up the mantle, it's a huge undertaking. It really is. So
I didn't ask for that person. I didn't know
we're
gonna do
it again. Not yet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge undertaking. So yeah, that was one of the very cool things we did.
That was the first time I read like out loud in public like that.
Really?
I was nervous. And I was in like college. I think I was in my senior to like freshman year of college. So okay. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, and I did it, but I was like, that was weird.
Yeah, and you have an hour to read, and you're just reading the word. And actually, as I was reading it, I was like really getting into it, you know, and I started changing my voice for different characters of the Bible, you know. So,
oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Is it like a bring your own Bible?
No, the Bible's already
like
there.
BYOB. Right. Like a bring your own Bible.
That's hilarious.
BYOB, okay?
I'm bring your own that Bible. In my invitations.
Yeah. Bring your own Bible. Yeah. BYOB.
They're like, wrong B.
That's awesome.
The reason I ask was because, you know, we have different versions that we, you know, that are suitable for us. So it's like if we're taking over.
You read,
you know,
whatever the Bible is sitting there. I think it's either New King James or International.
Okay, so it stays consistent. Right. So the flow, it's the just, language still flows.
Yeah, the
okay.
Book is the same. They start in Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation, you know, all the way through. And it's
and
fascinating.
How long did that take?
It takes about 3 or 4 days. Yeah. If you read an hour 24/7 for 4 days straight, you get through the entire book. Because I know I've read like in an hour, I must have read like 8-9 chapters, you know. And I think I was still, when I read it, okay, so when I read it, I had to pick two ships. One was toward the beginning, the other one was at night toward the end. I was reading in Deuteronomy, but when I came back, we were in 2 John. That's how far they'd gone in a few days.
Wow. You know, so. Well, I mean, 24 hours, one person reading an hour, so it's like about 24 people.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
And you're rotating.
And some people read faster than others, and, you know, because, but, I mean, you read a lot of chapters. Yeah. You read a lot of chapters. And so when you get closer to the books that Paul wrote, they're pretty short because they're letters.
I'm curious, how long did it take to get through Psalms?
Oh, I'm sure it took a few hours for that. Yeah.
Well, my thing where I would get tripped up is the genealogy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. We got this, we got that. Da, 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 da,
reading
da, da, da.
That without falling asleep.
Oh, man.
Next person.
Right.
Get to the good part.
Right. Okay, so we're going to get into our topic, which is fake Christians. Ooh. Are you the real thing, or are you just another bad copy? So, in Christianity, there are a lot of people that call themselves Christian, but they act like they're of the world. And that is our biggest problem as a faith, because we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk, right? And so, yes, we all stumble from time to time. But why do you think it's so hard for people to accept, you know, when someone says, well, I'm a Christian. How often do you even hear people even say that, first of all? You know, or I'm a believer. I prefer the word believer, me personally. So, why do you think there are so many people who claim to be Christians, but they don't walk the walk? Well, first of all, let's start from the beginning. What exactly is a Christian, a believer, or all that?
Yeah, let's go to the Webster Dictionary for that.
Probably should have started with that first.
You know? Yes. Because the definition of a Christian is different based on.
No, it should be. It should be the same.
It should be the same, but it's usually the definition is subjective, based on the time, you know, that generation, and also based on.
But shouldn't the person. Okay, so shouldn't there still be certain characteristics of a Christian? No matter what age it is.
Like, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
What are those characteristics then?
Well, Christian is like based off of just Christ follower. That's like how I think of it. It's just like, so you're following Christ. That's the simple way. Believer, I feel like, though, like you said, it should be the same thing of just he died on the cross for our sins. That's how I, the plain, simple answer. That's what I feel a believer is. You believe that he died on the cross, rose again 3 days later. That's it.
Okay. Just that.
Yeah. All I got.
Okay. Yeah. So you become a Christian. You believe. Okay. So you believe in Jesus, right? Is that all you have to do?
No.
Oh, there's some. So that wasn't it then.
Okay. Like, if you're just looking for the definition, yeah. But then there's it's more to it, because you have to allow him into your life and invite him.
How does that
work? And like, you have to pray daily, meditate on his word. You have to actually allow the change, like when he convicts you of something or prompts you to do something, like Chris coming to Woodlands, like you have to be obedient. Just try your best to live like him with what it says in the word.
Okay.
But then the fake getting to quote unquote, well, yeah, the fake Christians, there's people who see
how much of a following there is mm-hmm. of Christians. So, for example, those who are, I'll start with like musicians, for example. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, like nowadays, being a Christian artist is huge.
Oh, yeah.
So then if someone who wants to get into the music industry, they can use it as a segue just to get into the music industry. That's okay. one of the ways I okay. feel that happens.
Okay.
And they think because they're talking about Jesus and God and all this stuff, that's going to get me my music list, my listeners, my fans, and blah, blah, blah. So they're talking about it, but they're not walking the walk.
So, you know, I know there's a lot of YouTubers who talk about Kirk Franklin mm-hmm. pretty much in yeah. that same light.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you guys believe that he could be possibly a fake Christian? Because I like a lot of his songs. I remember years ago, I came home from leave and they were playing on WGCI, which is an urban R&B, or at least it used to be, I don't know if it is now, urban R&B radio station. They were playing, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was in their regular rotation kind of thing. It was one of his first big gospel songs.
Like Stomp.
Yeah. It was before Stomp, though. Okay. So it was Why We Pray or something like that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I remember Why We Worship or whatever it is. But that was so huge because I could literally see people in their cars singing the song at the top of their lungs with the window up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal. But I see a lot of people on YouTube who are calling him out. So, and I don't know, but I just see the people who are calling him out. I was like, really? I thought he was a believer. I thought he was Christ, but I see a lot of the YouTubers like beating him up over that, you know? So
I think it's easy because like we have a perception of how a believer should be. But then for me personally, I'm just like, that's something that he has to work through with his own relationship. Like, yes, the word, or like, yes, his name is being praised, and that's great. But like, at the end of the day, like, I have no idea what he talks about. Like, I don't know what his faith journey is like.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm just enjoying the music. As long as he's not, like, you know, like, if it's a worship song or, you know, whatever, I don't look too deep into it. Because I'm like, I can't worry about someone else's. I'm like, I'm trying to already fix my, like, stay in line with him. I can't be worried about his too.
Exactly. Right, but don't fake. See, and the only reason why I bring it up is because fake Christians are oftentimes used as the, this is why I don't go to your church, because of people like this person or that person, that sort of thing. Now, I believe that to be an excuse, but that those could be valid concerns. Like, I know plenty of fake Christians. I mean, phony baloney. Mm-hmm. There are some of them that there are two of them, I call them professional church joiners, because that's all they do. They go from one church to the other each Sunday, so they can come down, be seen in their clothes, and you know, and join the church, and you don't see them ever again. They just do it over and over and over again. I'm like, what do you get out of that? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're good. That's going to catch up to you one day, you know, so, but, you know, and I know some people that call themselves Christian, and then they continue to, you know, get high. I mean, we all have our vices, but you can't have the Bible in one hand and then a blunt in the other. Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess you could.
But technically you can.
You shouldn't.
Things got to go.
You shouldn't, because you can't serve two masters. But I suspect we all do that, not get high part, but the duality of it all the time. So that wouldn't necessarily make you fake. What would be the characteristics of a fake Christian?
Well, I just read in Webster.
Okay.
Here's the Webster definition of a Christian. Mm-hmm. The meaning of Christian is one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. So, simply put.
That's it?
Believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. What are the teachings of Jesus Christ? He wants us to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we can go all up into, I think it's Matthew, from starting in 5. I don't have my Bible in front of me, with his Sermon on the Mount. My favorite passage is when he talks about prayer, fasting, and giving. Those three main things. And he brought up an important point where you talked about those professional Christians who go from church to church to be seen. And Jesus talks about that. Mm-hmm. Not the part of going church to church, but being, you know, praying to be seen.
Right, right, right.
Fasting. Being showy. Looking like you're fasting.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And he's explicit in saying, when you fast, don't disfigure mm-hmm. your faces right, and right. look like you're fasting so that you're being seen by others. Mm-hmm. When you're praying, don't be loud and all, you know, it's okay if you're educated enough to use big words. That's fine. But, right. I mean, don't show off your vocabulary, right. you know, just to be seen and talk about how eloquent you are.
Okay.
When you pray, this is one of my favorite passages.
Yes.
When you pray, go in a room, shut the door,
mm-hmm.
and your Heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ask what do they, you know, what do those professional Christians get out from going place to place to be seen?
Mm-hmm.
They have their reward. Jesus says that.
Right.
The people who are fasting and praying and giving to be seen, they have their reward. You don't want the reward that's down here.
Mm-hmm.
If God blesses you with the, you know, earthly blessings, that's great. But you want to go after the reward that's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to have a praise of men, yeah, that's nice, mm-hmm. but that lasts for, what, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. a month, a mm-hmm. year at the most, whatever.
Which is probably why they keep going back for it over and over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll have to. And then ultimately, well, we won't go there. But the point is that it's temporal. It's yeah. temporary. But the reward that God gives you openly when you pray, fast, and give in secret, when it's just between you and him,
mm-hmm.
that is the one that lasts.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, the show's over. You heard the definition. You guys, see you guys next week.
Yep.
We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Question Christianity.
This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
And we are back from our break. Chris was just dropping some knowledge on us about the Sermon on the Mount and the characteristics of a Christian. So, so now we know what you're supposed to do, I guess. And I know fake Christian is kind of a strong term because a lot of times, how can you really tell mm-hmm. the real deal from the phony one? Because a lot of times, the phony one can be more convincing than the real deal, mm-hmm. right?
True,
so,
absolutely.
So they could lead you down the wrong path, and actually I've seen it on numerous occasions where people have been led astray. Now, yep. granted, they will have be held accountable for that, and that's why you have to be careful by what you say to people, because that could come back to not just burn you, but actually burn people around you and even the person you're talking to. So it's very important to mind what you say. Having said that, though, we have a lot of people out there that are wolves in sheep's clothing, and how do we spot that, right?
That's a good question, mm-hmm. considering I just experienced that myself.
Oh, my. Would you like to talk about that?
Like I said, that's another show. Okay. But I'll try to be brief.
Okay.
Wolves in sheep's clothing. That can, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not preach here because this is a podcast. No. So, but you can have, like, it can come in the form of false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you can really think that you're doing right because it's the only introduction into, quote, air quote, Christianity that you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you tend to fall into, you know, error.
Sure.
Now, that doesn't necessarily, you know, excuse your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But when God calls us, he exposes that error.
Mm-hmm.
And shows us truth.
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer your question so far?
No, no. But I'm listening anyway.
What I'm saying is that you have some, even though they appear to us as being fake Christians, they really believe that they are doing right because what they've been exposed to. So basically, if you've been exposed to fake Christians all your life, you're going to assimilate what you've been exposed to.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you become a fake Christian. So meaning you're in a church where they're preaching one thing, but then you see them doing something else. Mm-hmm. And you've been going to this church since you were a child. Right. And so you grow up believing that, okay, this is what Christianity is. Right. They accept God accepts me the way I am. It's okay for me to do this. The Bible's only for Saturday, Sunday, whatever day you go to church. Mm-hmm. And you could genuinely believe this and still be a fake Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the ones that we're thinking about here are what we could call the hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones who know what they are doing. Mm-hmm. They know what they are doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. And they know what is right. And they're still doing it anyway, but putting on a facade at church or in front of certain people to impress them.
Okay, let me use that argument. Mm-hmm. Isn't that everybody on this planet that does that? Mm. There's not a single human being who says one thing and does another at some point in their life, right? So that would make all of us fake Christians based on your interpretation, right?
No, because not everything is either one way or another.
But you just identified people who say one thing and do another are fake Christians, right?
Yeah, but and you then, can't so say that they can, are being intentional about it. They're not all being intentional.
Ah, I see. So,
it's the intention.
So all Christians have never intentionally done one thing, said one thing, and done another. I'm just asking. Maybe we'll cut this dead air out. See? So, because that's where the non-believers, because when we talk to non-believers like that, they're going to be like, oh, you're just judging me because I know you. Mm-hmm. I've seen what you do and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
I feel like there just needs to be so much more grace. Just grace, because we're all trying. Like, everyone is trying in their own walk.
Right.
And you have to meet a person where they're at. Mm-hmm. And so if you see someone who is a hypocrite or like not living in the way that they need to be living, I think it's really important to have a relationship with this person, mm-hmm. some type of relationship, whatever it is, and guide them in a loving way to be like, hey, this is what the word says. This is how we can do it, and kind of lead them and guide them in the best way you can. Like, if you don't have a super duper like deep relationship with them, just like give them little tips here and there. Mm-hmm. And also like share your own testimony too of like, this is what happened when I did this. Mm-hmm. I don't want this to happen to you too. I want you to avoid what I went through. Mm-hmm. So just kind of grace. I just say grace.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems that we have is that we don't understand the concept of grace. At least I can only speak for myself, at mm-hmm. least. In the church that I sort of grew up in, there wasn't a lot of talk about grace. Mm-hmm. And grace is really important. And it's a hard concept to understand, but then once you do understand it, it's relatively simple. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so focused on, the outward appearance.
Sure.
And so,
yeah, Christians are known for finger pointing.
Yeah.
We had a lady in our church who, she's moved on and got remarried, I think. She had a husband. Let me see. I want to make sure I get the story right. I guess her husband at the church. Okay, so she was the wife of a pastor. He came out. I think they were in California.
Oh, this isn't here.
Huh? Well, she went to our church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't want to mention her name because, but no. I think, and then her husband came out as gay. And he, I'm not sure. Of course, he had to leave the church. He divorced his wife. And then instead of having grace for her and her children, they told her, you should probably leave this church. You're too much of a distraction. Instead of putting your arms around this person. Mm-hmm. She had been wronged by her husband, who had clearly stepped outside of his marriage. And then he came out to the church that he was gay and divorced his wife. She's still there with the children. And then the church congregation, leadership and all, were like, yeah, you should probably go. This is why people would be like, your Christianity is for the birds. You know what I'm saying? Because you preach one thing and you had an opportunity to walk the walk and you did something entirely different.
Exactly.
You know, so exactly. Now, would you consider those fake Christians? I don't know. Because just like you said, they're maybe doing the wrong things, the wrong reasons. I can't remember which one it is, but, you know, that is where the grace comes in. That's where you're supposed to take care of the widows and the elderly, but she's not a widow, but you know.
Yeah.
But she was vulnerable and you guys you turned the blade, you know. Yeah. So
I have a question. Yeah. Cause if we're thinking of biblically, like looking in the Bible of what a Christian is, like we're called to make disciples.
Right.
So it's like plain and simple, are you doing that?
Right.
That's a good way to
right there. It's all about, are you living according to the Word of God?
Well, I would throw something one step further. Because faith without works is what?
Dead.
So the fruits of your labor will determine whether you are fake or not.
That's right. You will know them by their fruits.
So that's why it's important to, and that's what I was trying to get you guys to come around.
We got there.
Right.
Claps for us.
Right. Yeah, so, but that's where we see the problem is we look at all the noise, everything around the person as opposed to what do the fruits of his labor look like?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's and then you don't have to ask. You'll know.
That's right.
Right. And so that's why it's important when we're talking about fake Christians or we're even talking about ourselves, look in the mirror first. Mm. You know what I'm saying? What is the fruit of your labor look like?
And it's all like,
but then let's unpack that some more.
Okay.
I'm gonna be kind of like the devil's advocate for a minute. What about the person who has never been exposed to the Word of God?
Ah, we covered that already. So you're late. Yeah, no, that was unreached people groups. I'm glad you mentioned that. You didn't listen to that episode, did you? No. So the person, actually, our pastor came in here and explained that. And that was something that we talked about at length and we struggled with. Mm-hmm. It was myself, Crazy K, and Ricks, I think, were in here, right?
Yep,
and
I think so.
And we really, really struggled with how can you serve a just God where people who are born and destined for hell and then they never get a chance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Pastor pointed out some key scriptures regarding that. I don't know what they are, but you have to listen to that show. That was last season. That was season one. I think that was episode 8 or 9.
Okay. On the way home.
It was fantastic. You know, and there are many unreached people groups or unengaged unreached people groups, which are people who there are no Christians there. They have no concept of our God at all. So, which is horrible. I didn't realize there were so many groups like that. We originally talked about the fact that no one in the United States can really go with an excuse. You can't throw a stone without coming across a church somewhere or a sign about God loves you, you know, Jesus loves you, follow Jesus, all that. If you got a TV, if you got an internet connection, you cannot not access Christianity in the United States. Right. So, in my opinion, Americans don't have an excuse. They really don't. You know, it's written on our money for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So those are the sort of things that. But when it comes to unreached people groups, both in Southeast Asia, Africa,
and North Sentinel Island, for a perfect example.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. didn't they talk about that in the Timothy Initiative? Sentinel Island was it, no. It was a.
I know. I saw it on YouTube about that young man who was murdered.
Yeah.
He went there to as a missionary.
Right. He went even though that. You're not supposed to go there anyway. So, and he went there.
You know about that, Kaylin?
No.
Yeah,
young man wanted to go on a mission trip to North Sentinel Island. And I think, was it at least 90% of the people in his life warned him, including his church, right?
Yeah.
They warned him against that. And that is the one no-go place. Like, they are hundreds of years behind.
Wow.
I mean, it is.
Not thousands. You know,
yeah, if not thousands, they are like very like savage, and it is a no go place. Like you just don't.
The local go government. There.
I've never heard of this place.
I think it's off of India, right? Sentinel Island.
I don't know.
I think it's off.
But it is.
I have to double
it
check
is,
that. And
the population is dropping, and they don't allow any visitors.
Yeah, they'll kill you.
How did he get there then?
Or like, you know,
by boat.
By boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to go that much.
Yeah. He wanted to go and minister to them, to preach the word of Jesus.
Wow.
And they eventually killed him. They kill anyone who goes there.
Who doesn't look like them.
Is. Okay. Island in India.
Yeah, it's off of India, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a. One thing you can definitely say, he was no fake Christian, you know, and when you literally give up your life in the service of trying to spread the word, as far as I'm concerned, that is a superhero servant, because most of us just wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have some missionaries at our church, which I intend to, that's one of our episodes later on this season. We call them Christian Special Forces, the missionary, and I wouldn't step foot in some of those countries without a gun, you know? So that's just how hostile many of them are toward not just Christianity, Westerners, anyone that doesn't look like them, you know? So, and I can tell you, I think I said this on that episode, I can tell you that because one of those missionaries, they went and they killed the spouse, and then they left and they came back. The surviving spouse came back and they were able to get across to them, and then they started to minister to them, and many of them became believers. But I'm pretty sure if I was there, the outcome would not be. Mm. I'd go straight up Old Testament with them. I'm like, I five for you, brother. I got something for you. You know, I'm sorry. That's just, I'm being honest. That's and then no one would have been ministered because I would have got all of them. I was like, you should have stopped him, so I'm going to get you too. You know, so, but I'm not a violent person. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you what most people would do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's okay. It's just, and you know what? I may not necessarily feel better in the long run, but I would have got some level of satisfaction. So, but I get it. You know, keep poking out each other's eyes, everyone turns out to be blind and stuff. But
I want
to
read a scripture that I always think about when it comes to, like, I think about it when it, like, missionary or even just, like, sharing the gospel. And it's actually my footnotes. I'm reading the English Standard Version. And so it's Matthew 7, under the judging others section. And so it's Matthew 7 verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And in my footnotes, it says, believers should wisely recognize the true character of people and not indefinitely continue proclaiming the gospel to those who keep on rejecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really helps me, because it's like, I don't need to waste my time where I'm not wanted. And like, if they are like, and we're sometimes just seeds for some people in their journey. And I'm just like, it, for me, it helps lessen any weight for me to, or like pressure for me to share the gospel or share whatever I need to share with them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all I did was, open the door for them, and that's enough. Mm-hmm. I don't need to, if they're continuing to reject it or to have pushback, I do my thing and I keep moving. Because right. mm-hmm. I'm going to waste my time. He has me going somewhere else and I'm still stuck here.
Right.
And like when I think of like missionaries or going, doing things where people continue, like I understand continuing to keep going and not giving up on a place when you know that you're making progress. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like you have to also be in communication with Christ and just like, okay, when is my time? When am I supposed to move to the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything is all connected
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's important to always pray and rely on God's guidance. Mm-hmm. Because he knows our hearts. Yeah. He's the only one who knows our hearts. We don't even know our own hearts. And he calls us by name.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses us to reconcile others to him
mm-hmm.
oftentimes, whether it be through a simple act like opening a door
mm-hmm.
or a kind word or an intercessory prayer or just full-blown, you know, ministering the gospel truth to them. Whatever is needed, it may not plant. I mean, it may not. You may not see the effects immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You may never see the effect, but it would plant seeds
yep.
to just tilt the scale a little more
mm-hmm.
for that person. But you shouldn't. If someone is actively rejecting you, yeah, I totally agree. Jesus says, "Don't even waste your time."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "If." Someone does not receive you when he sent out the 12, shake the dust off your feet as you leave.
So is that like a one and done kind of thing? Or I got two questions. So is that a one and done? When do you determine that, number one? And number two, the scripture you just read, Kay, I've heard interpreted differently.
Mm.
I'm sure many of you have. Like, you don't cast your pearls amongst swine. That means people interpret that as you just don't hang around. You're just not around those people at all.
Mm.
When the Bible does call you to go to those places and minister, right? Mm. So how do you reconcile that? And then you can answer. You guys can answer either one of those questions at your leisure. And go.
Wait, okay. What was the second question?
About the scripture.
Oh, okay. And what was the first? What was the first question?
Was, is it once and done? The answer is yes and no. It could be once and done for you, or it could not be once and done for you. Okay. But I mean, God is faithful to us. And I don't believe it's once and done for that person.
Uh-huh.
It could be just once and done for, you know, what he told you to do. So if you're called to minister to someone and you do that and they reject it, your assignment's done, whether they accept it or not.
Okay.
It's once and done for you. Now, is he finished with that person? Not necessarily.
So when you would, so once and done meaning what exactly? You just stop talking about God and you stop the relationship with the person altogether? Or how does that work? So you're called to minister to Kayla. She's like, no, go kick rocks. And then you die, you don't have any further communication with that person?
No, not necessarily. It also depends on the dynamic of the relationship. For example, if it's a child
mm-hmm.
or if it's a coworker, someone that you're around on a regular basis mm-hmm. and you've tried, say, for example, invite them to your church
mm-hmm.
and they say, no, stop asking me to come to your church. You back off. Okay, fine. It's not once and done because what we're doing is we can still minister to them in other ways, mm-hmm. being kind to them.
Right.
Yep.
Just exhibiting our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're not in close association with them, say for instance, just a coworker you don't, you know, talk to very much. Mm-hmm. People are watching us all the time, especially when they find out you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's all eyes on you.
Right, right.
So if you just continue to exhibit a Christ-like example,
mm-hmm.
if they see, you know, a group out doing wild things, they're going to be looking at you. They'll mm-hmm. be doing the wild thing too, but they're going to be looking over at you to see if you're doing it too. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then that alone is going to minister to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. What about the second question about the scripture?
I'll let Kayla have that.
Okay.
You're going to have to repeat the question. I know that it was the interpretation of the scripture, correct?
Right. So I've heard many people interpret that as don't cast your pearls among swine because, you know, that's what the word says, which is interpreted as don't deal with those people at all.
Oh, they cast you to the ground and they trample you into pieces.
I mean, it kind of just goes back. You have to really be in communication with Christ, like just praying to him. Like, what do you, like, being obedient to him, what is he saying? Mm-hmm. And he'll still guide you. Like, whatever you end up doing, he's going to guide you. Like, he could guide you back. Like, if you're like, okay, not gonna deal with them, he could guide you to another group that's very similar to that last one. But now with the past knowledge you have, you could use different skills to minister to them, or just share your own knowledge and the gospel with them in a different way. So I think it's just a matter of, you have to just be in communication with what he's saying to you.
Well, what gets me is the second part, in terms as to why he says not to cast your pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. What happens? Read that.
Oh, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
That part right there. Lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. That sounds to me like someone who would deliberately repay you evil for doing good to them.
Right.
Those are the ones that we should not be bothered with.
Okay.
And those are the ones that are like once and done.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Check. Okay. Well, that was a pretty good episode, I think. So to close, when we're talking about fake Christians, it's not necessarily a black and white issue, as we've been able to determine. And let's be honest, at some point in our lives, Christian or otherwise, we've been fake at one point or the other. You know, no matter how subtle it is or how big it is, we've all done the fake thing before, right? And so it's important to realize that, and in that same token, have that grace for the other person, instead of pointing fingers at that individual as you are a sinner, knowing you've done the same thing or something similar. So, yes,
Kim. I wanted to add scripture for anyone who wants to, like, you know, dig deeper as well. And I was researching like online in the Bible, and I got to Isaiah 29 verse 13 and 21. And so that whole chapter is of Isaiah. Well, the whole chapter of Isaiah is pretty long, but the one section I was focused on, it was talking about Jerusalem and the fall of Jerusalem, but then there's hope at the end of the chapter for Jerusalem.
Right.
And in this section, chapter 29, it was talking about the city of Ariel. And in verses 13 and 21, it's highlighting that they are professing with their mouths, but their hearts say something else. But in the end, the Lord, this is what he's saying, like, you profess, but you're living a different way and all that stuff. But he has the ultimate say, and he's going to be the one that does the transformation. So he's going to transform their hearts no matter what, and in due time. So just a little, if anyone who's listening wants to look more into it, that's good. I feel like a good way to start.
And what was that scripture again?
Isaiah 29:13-21.
Okay.
And that whole chapter really is just a really, I mean, it went from, there was like a theme of purifying, like he purifies Jerusalem and then brings them into hope. So I learned that from, I looked up Book of Isaiah on YouTube, and it's the, it's some website that, or some channel that always does like the cartoons.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Bible Project. You're
talking about?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The Bible Project. Yes. The Bible Project is a great resource.
Yeah.
So I've watched that. I watched the first half and I was like that. It just helped me understand it more.
Right.
So,
they put a lot of work into that. They actually have an app too. I got it on my phone. It's called the Bible Project app. So, and it's also very interactive, so I would highly recommend that you download that too and play
and
with
Right
that
Now one. Media.
And Right Now Media.
Yeah.
I've heard that. What is that's when they have like the Christian shows on, right?
Yeah. Shows, Bible Project, or Bible studies, everything.
And of course, if you haven't heard of this show yet, If you haven't watched it, I'm actually very far behind, but The Chosen, mm-hmm. which is, I think we should dedicate an episode to that show in of itself. I'm not sure if you guys...
I just started watching it, uh-huh. and oh my goodness, I'm a binge watcher, So my son introduced it to me 2 years ago, and I was like, yeah, okay. But then I just started watching it maybe like a month and a half ago, and I watched the entire show up until the season finale.
And that show is solely crowdfunded.
It
is. And so that goes to show you, because many of the other projects that they've tried to put on TV failed. And part of that is you say one thing, but your heart's in another place, and it's never going to be successful. God doesn't allow that. So these people had a passion to put this together, so I would highly recommend. Full transparency, I've only seen the first two episodes, but they were fantastic.
Absolutely.
On their, the interpretation. And now, for those of you who may frown on it because you're going to say, well, the Bible doesn't mention all of these details, that's okay. It's the fruit of their labor that is identified, you know, and what Jesus did. Now, what was happening in the background, all the extra stuff, the artistic stuff, you know, that's for you to watch, you know, because the Bible doesn't go into great detail about that. The Bible reads very matter of fact. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the time of giants. I always go back to that because that just kills me. So we're going to close up with the show. We ran a little long on this one. So let's go with some final thoughts. Crazy K?
yeah, I'd say all have fallen short before the glory of God, but we're all a work in progress. Have grace for others and yourself. And continue on. keep going. Day by day, step by step.
That's all you can do. Right. Chris?
Just piggyback on what Crazy K said. All have fallen short under the grace of God. And if you are feeling that you are questioning your genuine relationship with Christ, and if you finally learn the truth, and if someone comes at you because you didn't know it before, just remember that Jesus rejoices more over the one sheep that was lost and found than over the 99 who never left.
All right, 100%. And I guess I'll have the last word. We all struggle, right? We all, and just like you said, we all come short. The difference between the real and the fake is you recognize that and you address it. Okay? That's what changes the difference. That's what makes the difference between the real and the fake. Fake doesn't care.
That's right.
The real one does. Okay? And you have to look in the mirror and answer that for yourself. Am I the real deal, or am I just a bad copy? With that, you guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be good. We'll see you soon.
Question Christianity.